Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me all the way from New York, my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton. And David, we are fighting computer issues again, but I want to welcome you to the show and remind everybody we're going to get these things fixed. I got another computer on the way, should be here in a couple of days, so you're not going to have to put up with it too much longer. Welcome, David.
Hey, how you doing over there?
Oh, well, I've been better. I hate this computer thing. You know me.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Listen, all right. Listen, 100 years ago, they didn't have anything like this.
That's the truth. I don't know how we lived without them before, but, you know, that was a whole new time.
Is it snowing down there yet?
No, but I've had to turn the heater on, I think, twice this year. Something like that. I see. Yeah, it's kind of scary. I don't know why it's getting so cold. Okay, so anyway. This is the Week in Review, where news and prophecy collide. If you'd like to see this in video form, you can go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. If you happen to be watching us on YouTube or any of the other video channels, make sure that you click the little buttons that are required in order for you to subscribe for free. And also the little notification bell lets you know of any videos when we post them. We do these shows 3 days a week. With the show each, the ending show each week is our Week in Review, and it's beginning to get more and more populated with Israeli news, Mr. Paxton. Everything is centering around Israel and the Middle East, and that kind of goes with prophecy, does it not?
It does, because that is the crux of any prophecy, is what's going on in Jerusalem in particular.
Right. So let's talk about what the world is talking about. Okay. The important things are going on in Israel, as we just discussed, because that is where God has His name, is in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Israel has belonged to the Jews for what, 4,000 years, you know, so the new arrivals can stop talking about you know, some kind of occupation, and instead recognize the part, you know, which is written clearly in the book of Genesis, that God gave the land to Israel.
Okay. And it's got to be usurpers all the time. I mean, that's just the way Satan operates. He tries to steal what's God's because he can't make anything on his own.
Right.
But you remember this guy named Samson?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Strongest man
that
ever.
That whole story. Entire story took place in Gaza, by the way.
Oh, so, okay. Okay.
Isn't that fun and exciting?
Doesn't surprise me. Not a bit.
Same old story. The Philistines, China, you know, take stuff from Israel anyway. And then they blame Israel for it. So, that's that.
All right. Well, anyway, I want to get to what the United States and the world want you to be thinking about, and then we'll get into what's really important. Okay, so first of all, and just going to touch on it, not going to really give it too much, you know, commentary or anything, because I think everybody's got an opinion. You either like Trump or you don't like Trump, and I don't think there's anybody in the middle. I just don't. Okay, maybe I'm wrong, and if you know, if there's somebody out there that says, "Well, I like him half the time, half the time I don't," go ahead and write me, tell me, I'll take that under advisement. Okay, but anyway,
Trump's agnostic.
Yeah, the United States Supreme Court has decided or ruled that it is going to hear the Colorado case, which bans President Trump from being on the ballot. It's a move to disqualify him, and this is going to take place prior to the first primary. That's how fast they're going to do
this. Right, it's going to be February 8th.
Right.
They're
so
actually here. So.
Yeah. So now there's already been one state, and I apologize, I lost it. literally lost the report, but it's out there somewhere. If somebody does enough digging, you'll find it. There was one state in the United States that had this same proposal put before them.
Yeah, I think it was Massachusetts.
And the Attorney General shot it down, said it was ridiculous. Is that the one that you're talking about there, David?
Yeah, I think I heard there was one in Massachusetts, and it might have been one other that was trying to do it.
Yeah.
the bottom line is they, you know, everybody knows, like, even if, you know, you did vote for the clown that's in there now, you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the election was finagled, okay, because there was actually more votes than we have registered voters.
That's
so scary. How did that happen?
Yeah.
But no matter your opinion of, you know, the candidates and what they are, the bottom line is, at this point, they're terrified of Trump.
Well, you know, that's my point in all of this. You know, I don't really think there's a valid argument against this, but you guys can try, I guess, if you want to. But if you didn't think that Trump was going to win, would you file these court cases? If you had any, if there was no doubt that Trump could not win, absolutely no doubt, there is no way he's going to win. You know, the way the media portrayed it before 2016, that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if they did that, they wouldn't be filing all these court cases, right?
Exactly.
They're just
like
terrified of him.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why aren't they filing one against him? You know, because he looks like Humpty Dumpty and no one likes him.
It's crazy. I've never, you know, I never thought, but you know, what I have seen in the United States, and I don't think this is either left or right. I really don't think it's pretty much right down the middle. That, you know, what we're seeing right now, everything in our democracy is being turned on its head, or in our republic. I want to make clear that we are a republic,
we're not
a democracy. But
they keep saying it's a danger to our democracy.
Yeah,
well, we don't have a democracy.
Everything is a threat now. Letting people mm-hmm. vote the way they want to vote—that is a threat to the United States Constitution. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a second. I mean, does this make any sense at all? You can't vote. The government says you can't vote for who you want to vote for, but you're free to vote for anybody you want to. Now, tell me that makes any sense.
For anybody else except them.
Yeah, you can vote for anybody except the guy you want to vote for. I'm sorry,
it's like
that
when
makes
I
no
went
sense.
To the doctor and he said, if we're going to change your diet, and it's a real simple one. You can eat anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a list of what you're going to want.
Yeah, they tell you what your like list is. Yeah, yeah, okay, I got you. And that's about that's about what the political system has become in the United States.
That's what a two-party system is. Well, where are all the other people? At least in Israel, they got there's a whole bunch of different parties.
Oh,
but, they got the two. Oh, here, you have a choice. You have a choice between these two that we focus on.
Well, you know, you say that about Israel, and I want. Actually, I didn't know if I was going to get to this report or not, but just because you did that, I'm going to let you know that already, even though that Israel is in the middle of this war that is supported by, I can't say 100% of Israelis, because there's a lot of Arabian people in there, mm-hmm. and there's always going to be somebody against something. Unless you happen to live in a democratic city and you're waiting on ballots, it is conceivable to get 100% count on that. But as far as what Israel is going through, they're being bombed, they're in the middle of a war, there's three fronts that are opened up, and now with talk that they might be kind of drawing things back a little bit. I want you to listen to, I've got two reports back to back. Listen to this really, really quick, and then I think it'll make sense to you. Listen to this.
Israel's military has initiated the relocation of thousands of troops from the Gaza Strip, emphasizing a continued commitment to a prolonged conflict against the Palestinian militant group Hamas.
The move follows a statement by Israel's prime minister anticipating the conflict to extend well into the new year. Despite the troop withdrawal, military spokesperson Rear ADM Daniel Hagari clarified on Monday that this marks the first significant drawdown since the conflict's inception, triggered by Hamas's unprecedented terror attack on southern Israel on October 7th. Joseph Eckerson reporting.
Okay, and then listen to this. This you see where they're de-escalating. Israel's talking about de-escalating some, or bringing back or moving some troops around. Okay, so that should be a good thing, right? You should begin to, the country should begin to get excited. Hey, maybe this thing is going to come to an end here pretty quick. Now, listen to this.
In a significant development, Israel's Supreme Court has invalidated a crucial aspect of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's controversial judicial overhaul. This landmark decision has the potential to reopen societal divisions in Israel that preceded the ongoing war against Hamas.
The proposed judicial overhaul led to extensive protests, risking a constitutional crisis between the judicial and legislative branches and impacting the military's unity. The divisions temporarily subsided after the cross-border attack by Hamas on October 7th, sparking a war that has persisted in Gaza for nearly 3 months. Paul Gomez reporting.
3 months and they're already getting tired. I mean, that's basically what this comes to. It shows you that just like here in the United States, we're ready to focus on anything other than what's really important. I mean, it's really what it boils down to, and they see this as an opportunity to end the conflict however they want to. Let's get it back. Let's get things back to normal again, or at least as close to a new normal as we can get. I hate that new normal thing. But anyway, David, what's your comment on all that?
They're looking to right now scale it down, but they're also looking to create a multinational task force to rebuild it. So they are looking on the other side of it. So I guess that's good, but we all know, the whole thing is a charade and a ruse anyway. Mm-hmm. And we are in, even Trump and even now we're talking about here the democracy and that word democracy. Mm-hmm. Basically, democracy is a mob rule, and that's not the way God set things up. He designed everything to be a monarchy where, hey, I have my king, which I put in place. Mm-hmm. But the Laodicea, we all know the final church in Revelation is Laodicea, and that literally means Leo is the people and Dicea is basically making all the rules, and that's a democracy. And that they were evil because they thought that they were going to make all the rules. Now God's not making the rules. We're all going to decide what the rules are. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to decide what God said. We're all going to decide what's right for society, as opposed to, hey, what does the word say? Mm-hmm. And is there a king, which would be King Jesus, who says, this is the ultimate authority. Go ahead. We're right smack in the middle of all this. Democracy is Laodicea, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I completely agree with everything that you just said there. I'm just seeing the world, world events are playing out right in front of us exactly the way the Bible said they would. And, it's just a mystery to me why a lot of these news people, some of which I know are saved for sure. I mean, I can't say for sure. How do you know somebody's heart or their relationship with God? I can't say for sure. I would strongly assume to the nth degree that these people are Christian, and yet they can't get on camera and say, "Yeah, I do know what's coming next," and lay it out. Mm. I'm wondering if that isn't because their networks say you can't do that or we'll have to fire you.
There's a handful of them left because of that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just asking, I don't know.
Yeah. They left. They're like, you're not going to let me talk about the truth. Then I'm out. I'll see you.
Yeah.
They were bold. They lost their salaries and all that other stuff, but they stood for the truth, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And the bottom line in all of this, and this kind of runs everything together too. Now we all know who Albert Pike is.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know who he was until about half an hour ago. Go ahead.
So Albert Pike was created a lot of the dogma for the Masons, and he was a 33rd degree Mason. But some of the crux of it all is whenever the world needs a hero, we shall supply him. Mm. And, so ultimately that's going to lead to the big hero for the whole world. But right now, We might have that possibility or that situation here in the United States because they do it individually and then heading up to the big one. Whereas, everything is chaos and mayhem, and then they bring the hero in. Well, at this point, could that possibly be a leader that many Christians like, who for some reason was a Democrat his entire life, but all of a sudden now is about all this freedom and whatnot? So Trump is standing for what we believe in now for the most part. But then the question becomes, are they providing a hero for us? And that's the real concern, because he did do a warp speed on certain things, which most of us are highly against. So where does that fit into this whole thing? But that's why so I don't know if they're actually terrified of him or they're faking that they're terrified of him in order to get more people to put in their hero. And if I could, I just wanted to read a quick quote from Albert Pike. And I think you guys will be very surprised to hear this. And it says, "We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a great social cataclysm in which, in all its horror, will clearly show to all nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origins of savagery and most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere, the people will be forced to defend themselves against the world minority of the world revolutionaries and will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitudes disillusioned with Christianity, whose spirits will be from that moment without direction and leadership and anxious for an ideal, but without knowledge of where to send its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer brought finally out into public view. A manifestation which will result from a general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. This is their goal. They want to introduce both sides of the argument so they basically collapse society so they can bring in their hero and their doctrine of Luciferianism."
Well, that is extremely interesting.
This is what we see. And that's going to happen on a world scale as well when they bring the Antichrist in.
I believe that you're onto something about halfway. That's my personal opinion here, just opinion. And what I mean by that is I think that Trump is playing a very strong point in establishing the position of one side of the issue. And I believe that all of those opposing him, I'm talking about those in power in one way or another, the big shots, the media, the opposition party or parties, foreign leaders, foreign countries, all that. I believe that they are forming the other side of the issue. And that is the reason that you're seeing such huge conflict right now, not only in the United States, but I think it's spread worldwide pretty much. And at the same time, I said, I was following you halfway. Well, the other half of that is, I don't think Trump's the Antichrist. I think he's...
absolutely not.
Yeah, I think he is a part of what will bring the Antichrist out of the shadows, for lack of a better word. But I don't think he's the Antichrist.
He literally does. He comes out of nowhere. Yeah. So it could possibly be him.
My personal opinion hasn't changed, and I've said this on the show numerous times. Based on my reading of the Bible, based on my understanding of everything, based on my reading and understanding, not interpretation. I always try to be careful about that. I don't try to interpret scripture. I simply look at it and say, okay, here's my thought on it. This is how I feel. Okay, and I feel like it is my opinion that the Antichrist will rise from Germany, but that it'll happen long after I'm gone. I mean, that I'm going to be taken and David is going to be taken, and every Christian living and dead is going to meet the Lord in the air at the time that God chooses, not that we hope for, but the time that God chooses that that is to occur. I don't know. Now, you may have a completely different opinion than what I just expressed, David, and if so, I want to give you time to do that. Go ahead.
No, I've been voting for his return for many years now, and I'm like, how about today?
Yeah,
and
that'd be nice.
So far, you know, didn't come yet.
Yeah,
of today. So we just wait and we trust him, because when he's all done, it'll be like, oh, that was the very best time.
Yeah.
So the question becomes this: while, you know, where did he come out of, and why did the big flip and everything? So did he have a change of heart? Talk about Trump again. Did he really have a change of heart, and is he really on our side, mm-hmm. or is it the hero that is now? I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt and mm-hmm. say, hey, you know, I really hope he's on my side. But we do have to consider this. Maybe he's the hero they're providing. So my allegiance is to Jesus Christ, the creator Amen. Of the universe, not to any man. Amen. So everybody is suspect until proven otherwise.
I agree.
So we just stand with that. And everything in the whole world is just pointing in that same direction. And it's the same old story. It's Satan against God. Mm-hmm. You know, he's trying to usurp authority and take what rightly belongs to us, because God gave us dominion over the earth.
Right. Yeah. Well, I totally agree with you. I really do. And, you know, the end is near, but the end is not yet, I believe is how the mm-hmm. is how the Bible states that position. You know, the one thing that is really hard to wrap your head around, I've never succeeded in it. Maybe you have. When does eternity start, and when does eternity end? And then compare that to the amount of time that we have on this earth, and tell me that that's even an eye blink in time.
Yeah, I mean, and I think even the concept is like we can't understand it. Because the time-space continuum we live in was a created thing, and that just shows us along this. But eternity is outside of time. It's not mm-hmm. like there's a whole bunch of time. It just right. literally time doesn't exist out there until we get into this matrix. So it just is.
Yeah.
So there is no beginning to it, and there's no end.
It's hard to
even measure it.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap your mind around it. It really is. And,
yeah,
you know,
we get there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, one of these days we'll know all these answers. Okay. One of these days.
Yeah, and that'll be fun.
Yeah. We're getting toward the end of the first half of the show, and I want to get most of this news stuff out of the way where we can really talk about things that might be more interested to our viewers here. But North Korea got some breaking news coming out here. North Korea has fired hundreds of artillery shells into a disputed border area that it has with South Korea. Now, the South Korean intelligence agency is estimating that there were approximately 200 shells fired into the area, and an additional 60 were fired the following day, which happens to be today. North Korea fired 200 artillery shells near the border, violating a 2018 military agreement. That, according to South Korea, who also announced that they have reportedly fired up to 400 rounds in response to the provocation. This is being reported by numerous international sources, and I found this report buried in Fox News.
Buried down there somewhere.
Yeah. Little Kim's acting up again. He didn't act up the entire time that President Trump was in office, and now he is doing things. But this one, David, is a little bit different. The reason that I included it today is because it's a little bit different because the South responded. And mm-hmm. I find that significant, because what that tells me is that, you know, a mistake has increased a lot. I mean, you know, we know from world history that a mistake can lead to world war, that one action can lead to world war. And here you got North Korea with her crazy little dictator shooting missiles and he's getting closer and closer to South Korea to the point that they say, we got to do something about this, and they fire back. And eventually somebody on one side or the other is going to get killed, and then all of a sudden, hey, pick sides, here we go. You have a debate with that or comment on it?
Yeah, I mean, it goes right back to Pike. They did that on purpose because Korea was just fine all by itself. But what did they do? They take half of it and they put in the nihilists and the atheists. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, South Koreans are very devout Christians, if you know them. And it's probably because of the persecution. And so now you got that battle again, and they're trying to annihilate. And the same thing, Vietnam, they did the same thing. Mm-hmm. So they try to divide everybody on purpose. And those are little, so those are nice experiments. And, you know, Kimmy is a rocket man. He's good friends with China, so he's just got to do what they say, or else China's going to wipe him out. Right. So I think that's why. You know, that's the main reason. And because, you know, you think, oh, he's got all the power. No, he doesn't. It's a tiny little nation in China. Yeah, you know, small.
Real small, but
the great red dragon.
But they do have that. They do have nuclear capability, and that's the one thing that's, you know, that's what's kept Kim in power. We know where he got it from, right? China would be my guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have supporting documentation to show everybody right now, but that would be my guess. I don't see us doing it, and I don't think that they're going to do it on their own.
Making it itself.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I can see where that front is opening up, and you know, I'll remind people again, I have stated, I really think the United States could get stuck in a three-front war. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Fighting. Well, we got that. I mean, and we talk about Ukraine and Russia. Again, they're the same people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really. And here we got them fighting each other. And then, and literally you got Israel against, you know, the Jews against Islam. They were brothers. Okay. Mm-hmm. In Islam, it's the same thing. Basically the same dad, they're in the same family, right. And now they're fighting each other here millennia later. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, one's a brawler and gave up his birthright, and the other one said, too bad for you, I'm keeping it. And here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a synopsis of it right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now we are at the end of the first half, David. So we'll save the rest of this for the second. But we've got a lot more to talk about, and we're going to get more into what's going on in Israel, because again, that's what's really important, is what's happening in and around Israel as it relates to the end times. And we're also going to talk about a conference that is coming up in Dallas, April 5th through the 8th, that we hope that you guys will be a part of. And it gives you your opportunity to meet us, by the way. So we'll be talking about that as well in the second half. Hang on, we'll be right back right after the break.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Caroline Malone with The Week in Review. Iranian state media reported that at least 100 people were killed in two explosions in the city of Kerman. The people had been gathering to commemorate the anniversary of the death of Commander Qasem Soleimani, who was killed in a U.S. airstrike 4 years ago. Julia Chapman has more.
Footage on state television showed rescue workers at the scene of the incident. A spokesperson for the Red Crescent said waves of crowds were making it difficult to move injured people. Earlier, a local news agency had reported that several gas canisters had exploded in the area, but officials in the region later called the incident a terrorist attack. Qasem Soleimani was one of the country's most prominent figures, widely considered to have been the second most powerful man in Iran. He led the Al-Quds force of the Revolutionary Guard, designated a terrorist organization by the U.S. for its role in overseas operations. Soleimani was assassinated in 2020 in an American drone strike while visiting Iraq.
Authorities in Japan say the Coast Guard plane that collided with a passenger jet at Tokyo's airport wasn't cleared for takeoff when the accident happened. Five crew members aboard the Coast Guard plane were killed. Patrick Falk reports.
Transcripts of traffic control released by Japanese authorities appear to show the Coast Guard plane that was hit by Japan Airlines 516 hadn't been cleared for takeoff when the accident occurred on Tuesday. The collision left five crew members dead and the captain of the Coast Guard plane in critical condition. But the circumstances remain unclear and investigations are ongoing. A Experts say it normally takes more than one error for such accidents to occur. Authorities are still trying to determine why the plane was on the runway at the time. Reports also say a strip of lights embedded in the tarmac at Haneda Airport to prevent wrong turns was out of service at the time. Patrick Falk, Tokyo.
The European Union and several member states have condemned the Israeli government for suggesting that Palestinians could be resettled and that Israeli settlements be built in Gaza. The comments from Israel's security and finance ministers drew criticism from the United Nations. Alex Cadier reports.
Germany, Spain, the Netherlands, Slovenia, Sweden, France and others have all joined the European Union in condemning comments made by Israeli Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir and Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich. The ministers suggested that Palestinians in Gaza should be subject to so-called voluntary resettlement and that any vacated areas could make way for Israeli settlements in the Strip. The comments drew condemnation from some of Israel's closest allies, including the United States and United Kingdom. The EU's top diplomat, Josep Borrell, called the comments inflammatory and irresponsible, and that any resettlement of Palestinians would be a grave violation of international law. Alex Cadier, Brussels.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me from New York is Mr. David Paxton. And David, In the first half, we didn't get all the news out of the way, so I'm gonna get through the rest of this. But you know, there's not a heck of a lot, but everything now is kind of centered on Israel, and you know that's the important thing. That's where, as I said before, that's where God wrote His name. You know, He's not going to give that up. He's just not. But anyway, I've got some reporting here. They're calling this the edge of war. That this terrifying war across the Middle East could break out in days after Lebanon's Hezbollah has promised to retaliate after Israel assassinated a top Hamas official. This is Saleh al-Arouri, or something like that. If you guys remember, I reported on this in a show a few shows ago where I said that Israel had just got trapped. They found him. They had him trapped. This is the confirmation. This is why you listen to Last Christian. This is the confirmation that what I told you was 100% accurate, as reported to you by somebody in the press, the U.S. Press Association. Okay, I actually do research. I'm not so sure mainstream media does, but I actually do actual research. So anyway, they're upset because this guy was assassinated. I take issue with assassinated. He was not assassinated. This is a terrorist, a known terrorist, that was tracked down, targeted, and taken out by Israeli forces. I don't see a problem with that. I mean, if we can eliminate a terrorist, we should eliminate a terrorist. And I guess I should correct myself. In fact, I know I should. Israel hasn't admitted doing this.
Yeah. I think it was the United States, wasn't it?
It was a drone attack. It was a drone attack. Yeah. I think I agree. Now, there's conflicting reports on that, David. But most of them say, yes, it is the United States. But there's no, you know, I do want to make it clear it's not definitive. Okay. I can't report for sure one way or the other. One thing that I can report to you, though, is the next one, which I think is the most important here, and that's the Houthis. Now, we have barely mentioned them because they're not – Hezbollah is that's the crown jewel of Iran's terrorist organizations in the Middle East. But the Houthis, they're kind of like in nobody's control. They just kind of do whatever they want to do. What they have done now, this time, is they are causing a major disruption in the Red Sea because they're actually attacking ships. Now, these guys don't have a lot of intelligence, okay? And by that, I'm not talking about spying. I'm talking about mental intelligence because they actually went out in the Red Sea and they thought they had targeted the ship they wanted to. Instead, they targeted an American military vessel. That wasn't very smart. Okay. They got turned back real quick. I'm getting tired of us warning Iran and not doing something about it. Okay. And what this has done, this is why it's important. This right here is why it's important. This company, Maersk, it's M-A-E-R-S-K. They're the largest commercial shipping organization in the world. I mean, you know, if you get something, you get something shipped to you, especially from the Middle East, places like that, you know, it's Maersk that provides you your stuff unless you bought it in the United States, made in America, right? So anyway, Maersk is diverting all container vessels from Red Sea routes around Africa's Cape of Good Hope for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. In other words, they have to go all the way around to avoid being taken or the risk of the Houthis shooting at them. And what this does, David, is it adds the trip round trip Africa, the trip around Africa can add about 10 days to the journey times and requires more fuel, crew time, and, of course, an increase in shipping charges. So the Houthis are kind of important in this deal. So let's listen to this one real quick.
The United States has urgently called on the UN Security Council to take decisive action against Yemen's Houthi rebels for their repeated attacks on ships in the crucial Red Sea trade route.
Deputy Ambassador Christopher Liu emphasized during an emergency council meeting that the Houthi rebels have carried out over 20 attacks since November 19th. Despite losing 10 fighters in a recent confrontation with U.S. forces, the rebels declared they had targeted another container ship on Wednesday. Paul Gomez reporting.
Okay, again, now all that's halted now. Okay, they're going around Africa. But let's find out a little bit more about the Houthis. I think that's important. Listen.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking in more detail today at the Houthis, the Iran-backed militia in Yemen that have been making life miserable for tanker traffic in the strategically important Red Sea. The US and its allies are warning the Houthis to stop firing missiles at commercial vessels or face military reprisals. But who are the Houthis and what do they want? Defence analyst Professor Michael Clark is a fellow at King's College London.
I mean, they're not fully in control of Tehran. They are clients of Iran, and the Iranians could stop them most of the time if they wanted to. But even then, the Houthis are not fully in control of their own forces. So over the years, they've lobbed lots of missiles into Saudi Arabia. They've been quite audacious using Iranian missiles. And now they claim to be attacking shipping that's associated with Israel, but it isn't. They're just taking pot shots at anything that passes through for a number of reasons, partly because they want to make themselves bigger on the world stage. They're being used by Iran to indicate that the Gaza war is more serious. It's intended to frighten everybody, to frighten world trade. And in a way, I think they're also trying to provoke the Americans and the British as well now to attack them, so that the Americans and the British and maybe others will get drawn into a war at the tip of the Arabian Peninsula, which will look like a Western war against the Arab world in general.
It is, of course, the war in Gaza that has emboldened the Houthis and raised the stakes at a very volatile moment in the region. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Okay, he mentioned Gaza, so let's go ahead and play this one. This is new.
There have been calls for restraint from all parties to avoid an escalation in hostilities in the Middle East. It follows the death of a senior Hamas leader in Lebanon who was killed in a drone strike. Israel has not officially confirmed its involvement in the assassination of Salah al-Aruhi at an apartment block in Beirut, but Hamas and its ally Hezbollah have condemned what they describe as a cowardly attack. Retired senior UK diplomat Lord Peter Ricketts says the situation is tense.
It's the kind of tactic that the Israelis have used often in the past, and I think they will be stressing that this wasn't an attack on Lebanon or even on Hezbollah, it was an attack on Hamas. But clearly it increases the risk that Hezbollah will feel they have to act more strongly than they've been doing so far. Actually, up to now, they've been relatively restrained. I mean, they've done enough to show the Palestinians that they are doing something to stand up for them, but they certainly haven't been seeking an all-out war with Israel.
Well, it would be smart not to seek an all-out war with Israel and get yourself destroyed. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's probably a good idea that they don't do that. But here, again, you are seeing where all the discussion is about what Israel's doing. They're the cowards because they go in and kill mm-hmm. terrorists, okay? But there's no mention anywhere of the terrorists coming in to Israel, breaking through the border, coming through in, you know, in darkness, and then killing people in their homes, beheading children, burning people alive, raping women, taking hostages. No retaliation for any of that, but instead you get a lot of garbage like this.
The European Union and several member states have condemned the Israeli government for suggesting that Palestinians could be resettled and that Israeli settlements be built in Gaza. The comments from Israel's security and finance ministers drew criticism from the United Nations. Alex Cadier reports.
Germany, Spain, the Netherlands, Slovenia, Sweden, France and others have all joined the European Union in condemning comments made by Israeli Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir and Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich. The ministers suggested that Palestinians in Gaza should be subject to so-called voluntary resettlement and that any vacated areas could make way for Israeli settlements in the Strip. The comments drew condemnation from some of Israel's closest allies, including the United States and United Kingdom. The EU's top diplomat, Josep Borrell, called the comments inflammatory and irresponsible, and that any resettlement of Palestinians would be a grave violation of international law. Alex Cadier, Brussels.
So, any of that make sense, David, or are they picking on the wrong team?
Yeah, I mean, this is the same old story, and here we go. Now, I want to go back into, way back into history. Number one, Arab means mixed. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
And it's because, yeah, all the other sons that were there, the brothers, you know, like in Ishmael, let's say, mm-hmm. let's go Genesis 16, we'll start in 10. The angel of the Lord said to her, I'll multiply thy seed. And in verse 11, the angel of the Lord said there, behold, thou art with child, thou shalt bear a son and call his name Ishmael, mm-hmm. because the Lord has heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. And his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So he's gonna be everywhere, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
And a wild man, and he's gonna be against everybody. And this is kind of the Islam mantra, if you would. So okay. we're gonna fight everybody, and if we run out of people to fight, we'll fight ourselves. And that's what we do here.
Uh-huh.
And that's why you see the Muslims are bombing themselves in Iran. That's why you see all these things here. But mm-hmm. Arab, it's mixed because Esau is the same thing. Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. And it's not just, oh, I hate you ahead of time. He just knew what he was going to do, so he didn't really like his actions.
Okay, I want you to hold on. I want you to hold that thought because we're not getting away from mm-hmm. it. I want to play this because it kind of is a supplemental to what you're talking about. Let's listen to this real quick.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Caroline Malone with The Week in Review. Iranian state media reported that at least 100 people were killed in two explosions in the city of Kerman. The people had been gathering to commemorate the anniversary of the death of Commander Qasem Soleimani, who was killed in a U.S. airstrike 4 years ago. Julia Chapman has more.
Footage on state television showed rescue workers at the scene of the incident. A spokesperson for the Red Crescent said waves of crowds were making it difficult to move injured people. Earlier, a local news agency had reported that several gas canisters had exploded in the area. But officials in the region later called the incident a terrorist attack. Qasem Soleimani was one of the country's most prominent figures, widely considered to have been the second most powerful man in Iran. He led the Al-Quds force of the Revolutionary Guard, designated a terrorist organization by the U.S. for its role in overseas operations. Soleimani was assassinated in 2020 in an American drone strike while visiting Iraq.
Okay, now, Dyke made clear there, David, that it was the United States took out that guy, and I was for it at the time, still for it now. But anyway, you were talking about the bomb going off there in Iran, and that's the reason that I played that, because initially what the Iranians were doing is they were blaming it, guess what, on Israel. And then it turned out that, you know, this is pretty much an internal thing, according to every report mm-hmm. that I'm getting. Their own people, some non-supporters of the government, are really
Israel does not have suicide bombers. Sorry,
right?
They just don't.
One other thing that I took from that report, and I wanted to make sure this was included in the commentary on it, and then I'll turn it back over to you. And that is that they say that these reports, you know, casualty reports and everything, are coming in per the Red Crescent. Now, most people are not going to pay any attention to the fact that they say Red Crescent, but I pay attention to it because, in my opinion, what they're replacing here is the Red Crescent as a symbol, the Islamic symbol is what I'm reading into that, replacing that or replacing the cross with the Red Crescent. Red Cross, Red Crescent. See where I'm going? Go ahead. David, with that, I'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah, that's what they want to do. And it's the god of darkness, the moon. So there you go.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about Jacob becoming Israel as well. Mm-hmm. Now, why did he love Jacob and hate Esau? And it's not because they were of any of their wonderfulness. It's the fact that Esau despised his birthright, and he knew that was going to happen. He's like, I'm not interested at all in who I am in the Lord, where Jacob wrestled for that. He's like, mm-hmm. listen, I want to know. And if I got to steal it from my brother, then so be it. And he kind of said,
yeah.
Because Jacob literally means a heel grabber, that's why they named him that, because he grabbed his brother's heel. The metaphor we see that is, hey, I want your birthright. I want to be the king. And it all goes back to the first Adam and the last Adam. Same story we get again. It's always the firstborn messed up and the secondborn, because Ishmael messed up and then it was Isaac. Mm-hmm. You know, now we have Esau was the firstborn. He messed up and it was Jacob. It's the same thing. Adam messed up and then Jesus comes as the last Adam. It's the same story, folks.
Right.
And he's trying to tell you in a myriad of different ways so you can get it. And here's the crux of it. You smell, and Jesus rules, and you need to jump on board his train. Mm-hmm. So, and a little side note on that, too. King James was a little bit narcissistic. And the book of James in our Bible is actually Jacob.
Okay.
The book is called Jacob, but he's like, no, let's call it James.
Just changing the names to kind of, I guess, name. Pat the king on the head or something. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then Israel, and let's go there. He said Genesis 32 and 28, and then we'll back up from there.
Okay.
So he's wrestling with God, the messenger of God, but we all know who it was. Said to him, what is thy name? As if he didn't know. Mm-hmm. Said, thy name is Jacob. So he wanted him to say it. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Yisrael, or Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. So he won. He won the wrestling match with God. Now he knocked his hip out of whack, all right? So that's symbolic of he changed his entire walk for the rest of his life, because now he's got a bum hip. So, and so Yisra'el, it's to have power as a prince of God. Mm-hmm. So that's what it means. So Israel literally means that he has a power as a prince from God. So the prince is the ruler, the firstborn son, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I want to jump in real quick and let people know that the middle show each week that we do three every week, our middle show each week is an in-depth Bible study with David. And you kind of got a taste of it right now, okay? But what we do is every week, again, the midweek show, completely about Bible study. It's David, and I try to sit back and just listen to him and ask questions that I think maybe you guys would be interested in. So I want you to please keep that in mind. We hope that you will tune in for that. It's extremely popular within our network, and I learned something. Personally, I learned something from it almost minute by minute listening to David. So anyway, we do encourage you to tune into that. I'm sorry, I had to jump in with that though, David, because your series is something that I believe will lead people to Christ without any doubt if they'll just simply tune 100%. In. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Once you like definitively prove that the Bible is the Word of God, and that's what it was for me, and that's why I kind of lean in that direction. When I was 15 years old, and you know, the Lord, I didn't want to believe in God because, you know, my parents were drunks. I was abused all the time. And I was like, yeah, well, why don't you prove it? Are you really there, God?
Yeah.
I dare you to prove it, you know?
He will.
One of those.
He will.
He's like, oh, that's fun. Here, read this.
Yeah.
So, there you go. He gave me the book of Revelation. You know, it was just a separate book that people hand out. Sometimes they just hand out single books. And I'm like, wow.
Speaking of handing out books, I'm not going to say that we're going to be handing out any books. We may be handing out some brochures. I don't know. But anyway, coming up in Dallas on April 5th through the 8th, we hope and we invite you to the Hear the Watchman Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies. Again, that's April 5th through the 8th. For those of you watching us in visual form, you see the slide up on the screen, and you can register at hearthewatchmen.com, and you can sign up for conference tickets, or you can, I believe, live stream and recorded presentations can probably be.
Yeah, if you buy the live stream, you'll get it live, and you get to hang on to the recordings. So that's cool.
Okay. Anyway, I wanted to get that in real quick, David, and then I hand it right back to you. Go ahead.
So, and the fact that here's Revelation, not only was it cool to read, but it's Bible prophecy 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I figure, and in my mind, it's like, well, the only one who could write accurate prophecy 2,000 years before it happens is God, and he put it in his book. So I said, well, the rest of the book must be his word too. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I came across this, Jesus fella, and I said, well, there you go. He must be the Savior, because the book clearly predicted history thousands of years in advance, which is impossible unless you're God. So if we prove that to people, I saw right in Genesis, you prove it. Hey, this is unequivocally the word of God, mathematically, metaphorically, historically, archaeologically. Hey, I said it right. Over and over, so many different angles.
What you have presented in the past weeks, you know, it's extremely in depth. I really hope people will tune in. More and more people will tune in. It's already getting more and more popular every week, David. Just tell you, I'm seeing the numbers.
And we're only in the first verse.
Yeah. Well, that's why. Because, you know, I cannot point to anything online, a book, a movie, a TV show, a series, or even a pastor's sermon history that goes as in-depth as what you're doing. I think it's the most in-depth Bible study that's ever been done. Maybe I'm wrong, because I'm not gonna say that definitively, but for me anyway, it's the most in-depth Bible study that I have ever participated in my life. And I want you to have credit for that. I know you're not looking for credit. That's not what this is about. But I do want to credit you for the work that you're putting in, though. I think it's important to say that. So, anyway, David, you got about 5 minutes. I've taken too much time. Good. Go ahead.
So we see Jacob, and then in 35, and God appeared. So later on, he appeared to Jacob again. And God appeared to Jacob again in 35:9 when he came out of Padam Aram, and blessed him. And God said to him, "Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." And he called his name Israel.
Okay, hold on. I told you that when I'm looking at this, I'm looking at the New King James Version. So I'm gonna read you verse 9, and then you decipher, okay? Yeah. It said, then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him.
Yes.
Okay, where is Padam Aram? What the heck is that?
It's over there.
It's over where?
It's not here in the United States.
For real. Yeah. I think I caught you. I think I caught you with one that you weren't expecting, and that's good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that gets tripped up, because you know I've never seen that, and in reading the Bible, I've never even seen that before. So you know that just tells you. Go ahead.
Yeah. It means basically it's an extended plateau of Aram.
Okay.
Like the there's a flat plateau, and this is the extended land. So he's going through this extended land of Aram. Padan is basically that. Yeah. Okay. Like I live in a place in Queens, and they all have their different names, but we all know it's Queens. So Queens is a bigger area, and our little neighborhoods have a different name. So this is that. He lives in the bigger area. So he's going through the bigger area of New York City.
Okay.
That's kind of the idea of Padan Aram. That's why it's got that little dash in there.
Okay.
But it just reminds me of a Rosanna Dana. You remember her.
Okay. Okay.
This is a Rosanna Dana.
I remember Roseanne.
it's a different one.
Yeah. So, all right, David, we're down to 2 minutes now, sir. Go ahead.
Quick, real story. Let's wrap it all up. We see two brothers fighting each other because that's what they want to do in Ukraine and Russia. Same people.
Right.
See Islam versus the Jews. Same family. They're brothers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. We see North Korea, South Korea. The same with Vietnam. North Korea. They split everybody up, and they're trying to create that here in America too.
And they're doing a pretty good job. Nihilism
and atheism. And they're going to create that civil war, so they both hate each other. So now they can bring in their hero, which is going to introduce Lucifer as their savior.
Yeah.
And that's how the story goes, and that is going to go worldwide, and then they're going to introduce the Antichrist with that same process.
Yeah. All right. Well, David,
you better receive Christ now.
Yeah, you better do it now, that's for sure, before time runs out. We have come to the end of this edition of Last Christian. We hope that you guys will tune in next time for the next one. But we always want to leave you with an appeal to please, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to do so now. All you've got to do, and in your own words, there's nothing special to it. It's special for you, and it's special to the Lord's ears, but there's no word that make it any better than how you pray is it's no special treatment over mine or vice versa. As long as you're talking to God and as long as you're asking for his forgiveness of your sins, and let him know that you know that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, that he rose after that third day, that he sits at the right hand of God, and he's coming back for his church one of these days on his time frame, and take all Christians living and dead off this earth before in God releases that wrath. Just pray a simple prayer in your own words and make sure you say in Jesus' name. And if you do that and you are that last individual, if you're that last Christian we're looking for, the next face you see is going to be that of Jesus Christ. And you'll be surrounded by me and David and every other Christian living and dead. Hope that you'll stick with us for the future editions of Last Christian. Remember, you can find us at www.lastchristian.net. Till next time, everybody, good night. God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.